In this matter of our relationship with God, I want to use an illustration that you are familiar with from back in the Old Testament, back in Genesis, the 4th chapter, verses 3 through 8. Let's look at this story together for just a minute. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it." Cain said to Abel his brother, "Let us go out to the field." And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Now let's examine this story. Let's try to understand what it's saying to us. First of all, remember, God is a God of justice and fairness. And if he told Abel what kind of a sacrifice was acceptable, then he also told Cain. Cain knew what kind of offering was acceptable to God. But he chose his own way. Now he thought, logically and in his way of thinking, it was as good as God's way. And that's where many of us get into difficulties. And particularly today, with so many books being written on subjects that are important subjects, how we relate to one another and how we think of ourselves. Those are all important subjects, but too often they are not biblically oriented. And many times they sound good, but it isn't the way God says it should be done. Cain chose his own way. He thought it was just as good. And there are people today who would argue that God was unfair, that Cain brought the best he had. But you see, it wasn't the best he had that God had asked for. It was God's own means that God had provided already. How often we try to pacify God or serve God with the best we have, and all the time God is saying, "I don't want the best you have. I just want you to do what I'm asking you to do." The second thing we see in this passage is that God could not accept that. And so he rejected. He rejected the offering. And Cain got upset. Now that's what it says. He became angry and his countenance fell. He got pouty. That's what it means. He went off and pouted. Have you ever done that? When something doesn't go just like you want? When your husband or your wife says something and you go off and pout? I mean, here you are, 25, 30, 40, 50 years of age, who knows, and you go off and pout, just like a child. I've done it. Oh, that's terrible, isn't it? But that's what Cain did. And God came along, and he said, "Now, Cain, I've given you a solution. I've told you what to do. And if you do well, your countenance will be lifted up. If you do what I've asked, you'll be happy again. You'll have a smile on your face. Just do what I've asked." That's all God asks of us. Sometimes he says, "Look, just go and say you were wrong. Tell them you're sorry." "Oh, I can't do that. It was their fault, Lord." No, God isn't as concerned about whose fault it is as whether or not I'm willing to go and say, "Look, I'm sorry. My attitude was wrong," or whatever. Take that first step. Do what God says. He says, "Your countenance will be lifted up. The load will be off your back and your heart will be freed." God said, look, Cain, that's what you can do. But Cain, if you don't, Satan is waiting just outside the door, and I'm alerting you to the fact, Cain, that he will take advantage of you. He will do it. And that's in keeping with what the New Testament says. Your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And when I fail to accept and utilize what God has provided for me, I make myself a target for the enemy. God says, "Ask forgiveness." And I say, "No, it was their fault." And the enemy comes in and he says, "You're right, George. That's it, boy. Hang on to that. It was their fault. You make them eat crow." And I struggle. And I get unhappy. Why? Because I've opened my heart to the enemy. And he's taken advantage. And God said, that's what's going to happen. And Cain refused God's way. And he went out of that place, and sure enough, the enemy came in like a flood. And we have the tragic consequences of murder. Murder! But please note this, and this is the key of the whole story today. Cain's argument was with God, and he took it out on Abel. He was mad at God. He wouldn't do what God asked, and he killed Abel. And many times, because you and I are refusing to do what God says, we take it out on the people around us, on your husband, your wife, your children. And all the time it's something that you are to deal with before God. And that question comes back, am I willing to say to God right now, Lord, what do you want me to do? Not my husband, not my child, not the way they've mistreated me, not what does my neighbor have to do, but what do you want me to do? In closing, I'd like for you to go back to Ephesians 4 with me for just a moment. Ephesians 4 marks the beginning of the second section of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians is divided into three major sections. 1 through 3, the wealth that we have. And I get these words from a book by Ruth Paxson years and years ago. Wealth, walk, and warfare of the believer. The wealth is 1 through 3. And then 4 through 6, 9 is the walk of the believer. And then 6, 10 and following to the end of the book is the warfare. So you have wealth, walk, and warfare. Now please note at the beginning of chapter 4, the beginning of the walk section, what God says. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, this is Paul writing God's words, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all lowliness and meekness, with patience, forbearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, God's desire is that there should be unity of the Spirit in our relationship, that there should be a bond of peace in our relationship. How do we achieve it? 4 qualities that he mentions. 4 very important qualities. Humility, meekness, patience, forbearance. There you are. Humility, meekness, patience, and forbearance. And I challenge you and I challenge myself to ask God to help me understand how I can demonstrate those more in my daily life. How I can demonstrate more honest humility, more meekness toward those around me. And we're going to be discussing these more fully in another session. And then patience and forbearance. Now, forbearance simply means making allowance for the faults of others. And my prayer as we bring this section to a close is that God will help you and help me to understand that these qualities will bring about the unity of the Spirit. And as I exercise them in my relationships, we'll experience the peace of God as we get along with one another. Thank you, and the Lord bless you richly.